great to see you all back. I see that some of you have memory. I mentioned this morning that we were having services tonight, and I'm glad that you remembered it. But it's kind of in keeping with what we're talking about this evening, if you keep in memory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, we find the Apostle Paul directed by the Spirit to write to those brethren in Corinth. We will talk a little bit about Corinth this evening and some of the things that were going on there. But first, let's read the text. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Notice within this particular text, this particular two verses, he begins the what we have as the second verse with by which also ye are saved, if. Usually when if is included in something, there is a promise and a condition. You will continue to be saved. You will continue to be in the graces of God if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you. And of course, if you do not, what he has preached unto them would be in vain. The Corinth of Paul's day was a city of wealth, a city of loose living, a condition of most, if all, not all, cities of wealth. Go to any large city, a large wealthy city, and you will find almost at its core this kind of atmosphere. Not saying the entire city would be evil, not saying the entire city would be loose or anything like that, but you will find that in most any large city. However, as Acts chapter 18 verses 9 and 10 reveals, there was a great deal of work to be done in that city. God knew that there were those there who would receive the gospel. This is where he spoke to Paul in a vision about Corinth. He then spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. What a wonderful, wonderful revelation for Paul, how that the work that he was going to participate in while he was in that city, number one, was not going to hurt him. He was not going to be harmed. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. And he says, for I have much people in this city, not that they were already converted, not that they were already children of God, but the opportunity was there. Much like when Jesus told his disciples that the fields were whitened to harvest, but the laborers were few. But Paul was there, and we've already seen as we looked at verse 8 in previous sermons, previous readings of the Bible, that Crispus and many others had already obeyed the gospel. Then we see from verse 11 of Acts chapter 8, that Paul continued there in Corinth for a year and a half, preaching and teaching the word among them, reaching out to the lost, calling those who were in error back so that they might remember. Now we all know from a reading of the first letter to the Corinthians that the church at Corinth had developed some serious problems. I was more than just a little bit amused when Brother R.D. McDaniel, who held the gospel meeting a few years ago from the Corinth Church of Christ over here out in the country, he came and he did a great job. But one of the things that he said is when the people who began the congregation, they decided on a name for the congregation, they called it the Corinth Church of Christ. He said, I don't know that I would have done that because of the reputation that Corinth had. And it makes sense when you just look at it and some of the things that had developed there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, you see that there were divisions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 4, part of the reason for the divisions was pointed out. There was sin in the camp. And that sin needed to be addressed. And it would be. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, one of the members was involved in fornication to the degree that even some of the unconverted would not take part in that type of activity. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, we have a brother taking another one to court and having the unjust solve their differences. In 1 Corinthians 11, 20 through 30, we read of the misapplication and the perversion of the Lord's Supper among them. Things had taken the terrible turn that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12, that some were even to the point of claiming that the resurrection of the dead was not going to happen. Stop and think about that. When the church gets to the point, or people within the church get to the point that they deny even the very foundation of Christianity. Oh, what a terrible sight. A terrible situation that Paul looked out upon. They had problems. And this is why our text is so important. I'm going to read it one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. These people had heard the truth. The church was formed when some received it and obeyed it. It was in that truth in which they stood. It was in the obeying of that truth in which they were saved. But it was necessary in Corinth. And it's essential even today that all of God's children continue to remember it and follow it to remain saved. It's not just enough to become saved. I've talked to a number of people over the years who seem to have the idea that because they were baptized into Christ, that they had done what God had indicated that they are to do. And that's only partially true. That's where it begins. But the work continues on. It is a lifetime commitment. And as has been recently pointed out, a daily lifetime commitment. I had a friend several years ago. I still have this same friend, but he's moved away. And we are separated by many, many miles. And he had a problem. His problem was that he smoked. And his problem was that he had tried to quit. And in talking to somebody one day on maybe his 40th or 50th attempt to quit, he said, quitting's easy. It's not starting back that's so hard. Now you think about that. We've got to remember and we've got to keep in our mind that we are making this commitment daily. Becoming a child of God is oftentimes the easy part. You hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But then what must you do from that point forward? Keep in memory the Word of God, because that's where you stand. That's where you were saved. And if you don't keep it in memory, you will be lost. Getting brethren to keep in memory what has been preached was no small task in Paul's day. And it's not a small task at all today. For a congregation to accomplish this requirement, it must continue to be active. You ever knock the top off of an anthill? I'm afraid in many congregations of the Lord's church today, if they knock the top off the church, they're going to look down and they see these lethargic creatures just waiting to see what's going to happen next. You knock the top off of an anthill, you see a flurry of activity. Immediately beginning to rebuild, beginning to restructure that which they had so painstakingly taken the effort to build over them. We've got to remember. But it's not just activity. It's not just moving around. It's not just doing things for the sake of doing things. Once talked to a preacher, he said, I'll tell you how to keep a church vibrant. Give everybody a job. And I was kind of surprised him. I said, well, I thought when they were baptized into Christ, they were already given the job. What's the problem here? He says, they don't know what to do. And I surprised him even further. And I said, that's your fault. You're the preacher here. We've got to not just have activity, but sound preaching, sound teaching, and led by a cautious and alert leadership. That's what the church needs. In order to be remembering, it needs to really stay stirred up. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, we see that the Spirit had the Apostle Peter express this in that general epistle that bears his name. He says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. As long as I am in this tabernacle, in other words, as long as breath is in me, as long as I live, I think it meet, I think it proper, that I keep you stirred up. Why? Because he knew that their souls depended upon it. If ye keep in memory, then the Spirit had Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1 to express much the same idea in a slightly different way. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to congregations sometimes as he directed. He wrote them a couple of times. We have those records. But to the church at Philippi, it seems he only wrote them once. But he wrote, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." It is quite possible that the Spirit had the Apostle Paul write the exact same thing to them as he had previously spoken to them by verbal inspiration. He says, "To me it's not grievous." There are those who are aware of what it takes to teach small children. We're all aware of the fact that repetition is what goes into it. You must take that child and you must get them to recall, remember, and the only way to do it is to keep them stirred up in a good way. You don't want to stir up children the wrong way. You want to bring them up properly, and when it comes to bringing them up in Christian families, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But it was never grievous for Paul to write the same things. It's not grievous for a teacher to teach the same things over and over and over again. The salvation of the Christians to which these things had been written depended upon them remembering the things that had been taught, the things that had been preached by Paul, the things that had been preached by Peter and John, and to all to whom the Spirit delivered the word. From the difficulties the church at Corinth experienced, it's quite evident that some of them had a short memory. They were easily forgetting that which they had been taught. And the short memory thing has been a problem for God's people down through the ages. We can look at God's people in the Old Testament. Now, they were God's people, and they received a message from God, oftentimes by the prophets, as the Spirit gave them direction. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3, we see where the Spirit had the prophet Isaiah write this of Israel. Now, keep in mind, he's writing about God's people. He said, "The ox knoweth his owner, and they ask his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." Why? Why does Israel not know? I'll tell you one thing they did know. They did know that they were entitled, if nothing else, the people of God. But that's not what they were supposed to be remembering. That was not what they were supposed to be considering. Now, I want you to look in verse 5. We'll see the reasoning why the Spirit had the prophet write this. He asked him and said, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint." Why? Because they would not remember the Lord's direction to them. When the leadership of a congregation doesn't do what they ought to do, the membership most likely won't either. When the leadership of a nation does not do what it is supposed to do, it is likely that the nation will not follow properly or will not do what they are supposed to do. Here's something to consider when we're talking about this thing that was said from Isaiah as the Spirit gave him direction. The whole head is sick. When you consider the church, the head of the church is not sick. The head of the church is Christ, and we must follow the head. The only way that we can do it is keep in memory what Christ promised, that the Comforter would come, he would guide them into all truth, and that's what we have for us to read, to study, to be guided throughout this life. In Psalms chapter 78, verses 10 and 11, we find this to be the sentiment the Spirit had the psalmist express about the children of Ephraim. If you'll keep in mind, Ephraim was one of the tribes. These were the people of God in the Old Testament. But did they remember? They previously had received the law just like the rest of the tribes had. Yet, they had short memories. This was what was written about them. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. The next verse will tell you what that will bring about. When one forgets to walk in the laws of God, and it applies in the Old Testament under that particular dispensation, it applies now under this dispensation, then you will forget what God has done for you. In their particular situation, they forgot His works and the wonders that He had shown them. Think about it. Who would ever expect that people would forget what God had done for Israel? He led them out of Egyptian bondage. He led them in safety and nourished them all through the wandering in the wilderness. He brought them to the land that flowed with milk and honey. But they forgot. You know, God's people that day needed to have their memories stirred up. Christians today need the same thing. We need to have our memories stirred up. Since we were talking about God's people in the Old Testament, let's go back there. At Mount Sinai, the Israelites forgot God. Didn't take them long to do it. Keep in mind, Moses had gone up onto the mountain. In about a month's time, the whole of Israel forgot God. They demanded that gods be made for them. And when Aaron, the brother of Moses, the one who had been with Moses as all of these great things were carried out in getting the Pharaoh to release Israel, when he satisfied their demands, they bowed down and worshiped the molten calf, or the calf that came from the molten metals that he took and shaped. We know this because Exodus chapter 32 and verse 4 tells us what Aaron did with the earrings of all the people, and then what the people said about the resulting idol. He, Aaron, received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." How soon people forget. You know, just a short time before this, in Exodus chapter 19, when there were thunders, lightnings, and a thick cloud on the mountain, the people feared and trembled. How soon people forget. To keep their memory refreshed, God, knowing the mind of man, set up various memorials as reminders that certain things had taken place. We have memorials even today in our society and things that have happened in our history. Sometimes people want to tear down those things which help us to remember our past. Were all of the things that happened in our past good? Absolutely not. There were some very unwise choices made by the people who ruled this nation and the people of the nation itself. But those memorials that God gave Israel were set there to make them understand, make them remember, cause them to be reminded. The same thing with our history. We need to be reminded of our history so at the very least we don't make the same mistakes again. But let's look at a few of those. There were 12 stones set up on the other side of Jordan when Israel crossed over. Why? It was told that when your son asks, "What do these things mean?" you can tell them about it. There were the things such as the feasts, such as Passover. The whole purpose of Passover was designed to keep Israel's history and her covenants with God fresh in their minds. Can you see the little Jewish boy saying, "Daddy, why do we do this every year?" Because back several generations ago, our forefathers were in Egypt. And God spared us. That's why we do these things. That's why we have these reminders concerning the Passover. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 6 and 8, God gave them specific directions so Israel would be stirred up, so Israel would remember what God had done for them. Notice the direction, how specific those directions were. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast unto the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. The purpose of memorials is so that we will remember. The Hebrews, brethren, were reminded in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 3 of the memorials of their ancestors in the Old Testament that were in the form of the sacrifices that their forebears offered under that law. The whole purpose of this was to keep people, Israel, stirred up in regard to what God had done for them and how he had directed them in those Old Testament times. But these Hebrews Christians in Hebrews chapter 10, they were children of God under the present dispensation, the final dispensation, the law of Christ. And they were told about those sacrifices to remind them. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. The recipients of this letter were reminded of this so that those Hebrews Christians would not seek to go back to that Old Testament law where the sacrifices were no longer acceptable unto God and where there never was any salvation. They were to be stirred up to remember that they were children of God in Christ. You know, we all need to heed the warnings that God has given us to keep our minds aware of his presence and his will. I want to take a few minutes this evening, and I want to take a look at some of the scriptures that will perhaps help us to keep in memory what God has commanded us. And I notice as I preach, oftentimes people are jotting things down. Take just a second and write down above this particular list reminders and refer to them, so that we can remember. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16 tells of part of the sacrifices that we as Christians are to make as we remember his law and as we strive to follow it. Keep in mind, we are to make sacrifices today, not the kind of sacrifices they had under the old law, but the sacrifices that are acceptable unto God. In Hebrews 13, 16, but to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, here's a question for you. We all want to remember to please God, don't we? We should. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, again, written to these same Hebrew brethren, it was written to them so they would not forget what they had been taught under the New Testament law. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have been taught, lest at any time we should let them slip. They did not need to slip from what they had learned under the New Testament law. They were children of God. Matter of fact, they were children of God from a national standpoint when God recognized Israel as his people, but also children of God under a spiritual covenant. They should never let those things slip. Now, how are we to keep them from slipping? As you turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, I'm going to repeat something I've said a number of times. When we first left the workaday world and were no longer required to punch a clock, my wife came up with a brilliant idea. Not her first, by the way. But she said, let's learn these scriptures. I said, okay. And she started writing out or copying, printing, and we had us a list. And before you know it, we had, I don't know, 100 and so scriptures. And we'd sit down every day and we'd go through, and it got real tough when she said, okay, let me have your paper. Now, I'm going to call out the scripture and you quote it. And we did that for a while, and it was interesting and it was enjoyable and it was hard work. But we remembered them. But we got busy. We got busy with a number of different things. Didn't mean we didn't Bible study or, you know, study the Bible or sit down and talk with people or those kind of things. But we got to the point where we were not going over those scriptures every day. We get in the car, and for some reason, I think her sister was in the hospital or sick or something, and we went to East Tennessee, and we have a 3-hour trip, and so we're going down the road, and we get to Hickory, and I don't have any idea what my mind is on, and she says to me, quote, and she calls out a passage. And for about half a second, I looked like a fish out of water. What am I saying? We got to stay in it. We got to continue. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us the best way to have our minds transformed. We've got to stay in the Word of God. But first and foremost, we must not allow ourselves to be conformed into this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Continually putting into our minds the Word of God. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us how to transform our minds. Incidentally, this is also how we can have a better remembrance of God's Word. Somebody says to me, where's that passage? And you say, oh yeah, that's over in Ephesians. Or that's in Galatians. You know why? Because you've been there multiple times. Very few people have the capability of being able to recall just off the cuff where that scripture is. Any scripture. Very few people can do that. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us how we can recall those scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And guess what that will also do? That'll keep us stirred up. Now, we've visited Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 several times recently. People who have listened to the sermon might even say, well, he's used that three or four times in the last month. But it's a great passage. Let's look at it again. This would definitely help serve Joshua and the people of Israel. Remember, so long as Joshua so long as Joshua led Israel and as they received the promised land, and as you turn to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, know, and we can show from the word, that as long as Joshua lived and as long as the elders that served with him lived, Israel was faithful. Why? They kept them stirred up. They kept following the word of God. Here's what Joshua was told. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You think Joshua was successful? Oh yes, absolutely. In Psalms 119 and verse 97, we see that the Spirit had the psalmist write, and it also shows the focus of the penman. He wrote, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, it's no wonder to me that David was called a man after God's own heart. In objection to that, people say, you know, David sinned. God didn't never sin. God never said that David didn't sin. One thing about David, when he sinned, he repented. And where did he go? He went to God's word. He loved the Lord. He wanted to serve the Lord. We have the same opportunity today. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. We have one who was in apostolic times. Timothy, a protege of Paul's. One who had probably, no doubt, had had Paul's hands laid upon him. So why would he need to read? Why would he need to study? Why would he need to pay attention to doctrine? Why, the Spirit was giving him everything he needed. What did the Spirit tell Paul to write to him? Till I come, give attendance to reading. I saw today where I was on a church website somebody had directed my attention to, and they said that if you read 20 chapters a month would be the plan for this year. 20 chapters a month. I'm sure that can be done. But at the end of it, are you going to be able to know what you read? Maybe some of it. Maybe a little of it. But Timothy was told not only to give attention to reading, but notice, he also was told to give attention to exhortation, to give attention to doctrine. When you see those commas there, till I come, give attention to reading, and then comma, also to exhortation, also to doctrine. And this works well for us today. We ought to read the Bible and read it frequently, constantly. That doesn't mean we have to have a Bible in our hands all the time, but we need to set aside a particular time of day when the TV's not on, the children are not up, things are not going on, the phone is not ringing, and read and study. That's giving attention to reading, giving attention to doctrine. And then we also have to give attention to exhortation, exhorting one another. If we really commit ourselves to reading God's word, and if we really commit ourselves to exhorting our brethren and being built up and exhorted by that word and remain instructed by it, we can't help but remember God. Remember his word. Remember his direction to us. While we're talking about remembering, there are some things that God's people should remember today as we live in this present world. This is a tough world to live in. Oh, and I know there are people that are older than I, believe it or not. There are those who have experienced things that I have not experienced. I have never figured out how in the world my dad walked 5 miles to school uphill both ways. Uphill going to school, uphill going home, and it doesn't work. But that's the story we got. Something like it. But as we live in this world, as tough as it is, God has provided the things that we need if we simply remember them. One of those things are the words of the Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, these people to whom this was written were reminded of that. This particular situation, Paul was talking to the elders of Ephesus. Notice he said, I have showed you all things. How that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Oftentimes when people think about that, when they look at that particular passage, they think, well, he's going to take off and start preaching about the offering. There's a lot more ways to give than just what comes out of our wallets or out of our checkbooks. And yes, we have received a great deal. But who has given the most? You can't outgive God. All the wonderful blessings that he has bestowed upon humanity. And every one of us have received much, much more than any of us deserve. You say, well, how can that be? I have all these needs. No, no, no. If indeed we are children of God, we have been given by far more than we deserve. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. If we don't remember anything, we need to remember this, because this puts us in a special place. This puts us in a category that is separate and apart from the world. And we are to remember it. As Peter directed those people in that general epistle, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Every person who has been baptized into Christ contacted the blood of Christ. That blood of Christ performed the operation of God, the circumcision of the heart, the washing away of the sins. God has truly given to us much, much more than we deserve. What are we giving to him? Can't we even put forth the effort to learn his word, to remember his word, to follow his word? Some will, some won't. Might also be reminded of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Those Ephesians brethren, we look into the Bible and we say, boy, there were some wicked people in the Bible. There were some people that were lost in the Bible. And before we became children of God, if we were children of God, we were lost. And that's why Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 will fit this to help us to remember what was our state, our condition before we obeyed the gospel. And relative to the Ephesians, that at that time ye were without Christ. There was a time when all of the Gentiles were without Christ. The plan had not come to fruition, and the Gentiles were not included in God's plan at that point. And that's what he's talking about next. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of power. But notice this, or the covenants of promise. But notice the last phrase here in this particular passage. This is the condition of everyone before they obey the gospel, having no hope and without God in the world. I think if we simply remember that we have been truly blessed because we live in the age in which Christ's blood is available, we will strive to do better, to remember and follow his word. We also to remember those that are in the body that suffer for the cause of Christ. I think we're often guilty of thinking that persecution only occurred in the past. There are people who suffer today for the cause of Christ. Oh, they might not be stretched out to be beaten or flogged on the city square or whatever the case may be. But if you look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3, those Hebrews Christians were being reminded to remember something. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. The body is oftentimes used as an example so that we will understand when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. When you smash that finger with that hammer, I know you didn't mean to, but that thumb reminds your whole body of that throughout the night. The same thing is true when part of the body suffers. When part of the body is bound, we remember them as we are bound with them. When people are suffering and fighting off diseases, we are to remember them. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, we see it addressed as how we are to remember the ones who are over us. This specifically is talking about the elders of the church. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Elders are always to stir up the congregations, to keep them in memory. Notice, if we continue reading here, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Do you know that elders will be held responsible for those over whom they shepherd? What a great duty that they fulfill, a great responsibility that they have. Of course, they're to do it willingly. They're to doing it for they love God, for they love the souls of man. But we're also to remember, and continually so, the word of God as it relates to his plan of salvation. So we can pass his direction on to others so that they can participate in that salvation. I've had people to ask me, you know, why do you give the gospel plan of salvation when it's pretty obvious that everybody there is a member of the body? Simple fact. Not everybody in the body can reel off, if you will, the gospel plan of salvation or even a couple of verses that go along with it. It's a pretty simple plan. We all ought to know it. We all ought to keep it in our memory. One must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. In Luke chapter 13, 3 and 5, both of them say the same thing. I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, we are to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For with the heart, the mind, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And then one is to be baptized into Christ. It's the only way to be in Christ is to be baptized into Christ. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 provides for us a graphic view of one who has forsaken, one who did not keep God's law in their memory, one who has drifted away, become entangled in sin. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Perhaps you're here tonight and you haven't done these things. You do need to do them. You need to become a child of God. And then you need to strive to remember the words of God. We'll help you with this. But perhaps you're here and you've allowed sin to come into your life. And if it's a sin of a public nature, it needs to be handled publicly. If it is sin of a private nature, you know what it is and God knows what it is. And you can take care of it right there in your seat. But you have to take care of it properly. The plan for that is simple as well. It is to repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. We'll sing the first and third verse of the selected song. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come? Let us stand together.